Hi, everybody. This is Marlene with Miami Ghost Chronicles, Stories of the Supernatural. How are you doing tonight? And tonight I have a very special guest. This gentleman, his name, well, not his real name, but he goes by the name of Bette Light. And as we get into the show, you're going to understand why he uses that. But anyway, let me give you a little bit of information about him, because let me tell you something. Put on your seatbelts, because the material that we're going to cover here, it's like, talk about a paradigm shift. First of all, he's a scientist and he investigates new methods of communicating with extraterrestrial intelligence. He's developed a new method of spectroscopy, where he discovered extraterrestrial messages in the visible light frequency of our star, the Sun. In 2015, while creating an experiment to communicate with ghosts, he discovered that not only ghosts were able to become visible, but other life forms that he concluded were not from Earth. With his discovery came many unexplained sightings of UFOs, and it seemed the UFOs were targeting him due to discovering the frequency they're using to communicate. Since 1994, most SETI experiments search for radio signals from ET, but now with new communication technology, there are other possible frequencies extraterrestrials could be using, and these new technologies is what he is looking for in order to establish communication with extraterrestrial life. And even describing that, I think we're going to come up short because anyway, I am so happy to have you on here tonight. And first of all, you sounds like you were doing paranormal investigations. Is this how you came upon this discovery?
Yeah. Hi, Marlene.
Hi. How are you doing? I'm sorry. Even when I was reading that, I was going, wait a minute. Boy, I hope these people are all sitting down when they hear about this. So anyway, let's start at the beginning, which is what I was going to tell. I was going to ask you, how did you happen to come across this? It sounds like you are a ghost hunter.
Correct. And in the beginning, I used to do a lot of ghost hunting, and I always had a passion for these non-physical entities, and working in houses a lot, I would feel these presences, one on film, and eventually I had this idea that I could communicate with spirits using
okay.
tools.
So what was it you were trying to, were you trying to, because, you know, lately they've come out with all these different types of equipment to do spirit communication. Is that what you were trying to do originally? Some type of method of communicating with entities of those that have passed on?
What happened was in 2009, mm-hmm. I was taking photographs, making a rainbow, the spectrum,
okay.
on a refrigerator with light coming in through my window. And
okay.
I took some digital photos. Some very unexplained things appearing in the light, but then I forgot about it until
okay.
2015. And then in 2015, I remembered what I did in 2009. So
okay.
I said, let me just try this.
So you basically, this went on the back burner for like 6 years?
Yeah, well, it was pretty much because I forgot about it. My mom found a video camera of mine and some of
wow.
my old stuff, and she sent it. Video
okay.
camera. I remembered what I did then, so then I tried to duplicate the experiment.
Okay, so mom kind of like was the one that what is it that they say that shook the cobwebs off and brought it back so that you what took a second look at it and realized that there was something there.
Yeah, and I tried to duplicate what I did then because it didn't look as detailed as I remembered it, because I videotaped it on camera to document
okay.
what I seen then. So basically, I came up with this idea by accident because I had light coming in. I was just trying to make my own rainbow and then take photographs of the rainbow.
Okay.
And that's when I realized there was things inside the spectrum.
And let me ask you, because I can't imagine, the first time that you saw this, what did you think? Did you really understand, or were you thinking, okay, I'm seeing what's not really there, I'm making up, even though I've seen some of the pictures and we're going to show them later, but what was your first thoughts when you the first time that you actually took a good look, like you said, in 2015, after so many years?
In 2015, whenever I started the experiment, 2 weeks prior, I told some close friends of mine that I was going to set up this experiment and I was going to communicate with ghosts, spirits from the
Right.
other side.
Okay.
And when I set up the experiment and I was able to do the first experiment, I experimented for over an hour. I reviewed the results, and that's when I saw that image of the spirit.
Wow.
And that started the search. So now, if he would not have shown up on that first day of testing,
Okay.
I'm not saying that I would have continued this experiment, but since he did show up,
Okay, this is what basically fueled you going forward with this.
correct. It was the very first photograph of the human soul. It has eyes, nose, mouth, shoulders, and a white forehead.
Is that the one that's part of the picture that you sent, the one next to your picture?
Correct.
That one, yeah. Well, I've got a bigger one there and I'll show it in a minute. But yeah, that's difficult to overlook that. That is like what? And
And he actually started to form in a couple of photographs prior. So I was taking photographs as fast as I could take photographs of this light. And you saw him start to form on the left, and then he moved to the right, and then he was perfectly formed on the third frame. But by the fourth frame, he just disappeared from sight.
wow. So at that point, you were thinking, okay, I've been able to contact somebody that's this ghost or the spirit of a person that's deceased. Is that where you were thinking at that point when you saw this picture?
Correct. In the very beginning, I just assumed that this was only a method of communicating
Okay.
with the afterlife,
Okay,
spirits,
right.
ghosts. But then, after the discovery, is when things picked up and got very interesting.
And what do you mean by that? I mean, did you pick up or did things start happening around you? Like, in other words, they realized that you had basically discovered a way of seeing things.
Well, I'm certain that they were able to know instantly because, as you can see in the picture of the spirit, he's looking directly into the camera, so
Yeah.
they're acknowledging being seen. But the very first photograph, and I didn't even know that it was there until I seen him, and like weeks later, I re-reviewed all of them. But the very first photograph I took, I caught him off guard. So
Oh.
there was like a tall man wearing a robe. And he had a pointy hat, and in front of him was a man, a bald man with a black jacket, and he was kneeled
Right.
down in front
I'm
of the
just as a matter of
bald
fact, I'm
man.
showing that right now, showing that slide right now as you're talking about it. You're
And there was.
exactly right that it shows like a figure, like one kneeling in front of the other one with a pointy. It looks either a hat or a tall hood or something really weird, very unusual. But yeah.
And that was the very first photograph I ever took of the light. So that was the very first photograph I took, and that was in the first photograph of this experiment. But then I had to move and relocate, and then I started the same day within the same 20 minutes, and that's when I captured the spirit dude. So the very first photograph, I caught him off guard. They must have
Okay.
been alerted instantly. So as soon as I took that photograph, they knew. They're like, okay, now they can see us. So then that's when they came in and started looking into the camera.
Yeah, because that other one, the way the two figures and the one kneeling, it's like, okay, we're not only talking a close-up of a face, we're actually looking like if somebody pulled back and is showing you, it's like, in case you thought that what you captured the first time, we're going to now show you. So now let me ask you, at this point, you're still thinking we're talking here ghosts, right?
Humans.
Humans, right,
I
humans, like human
assume.
ghosts, like of deceased, whatever. Okay, which was your original intent.
Correct.
So I know there's other pictures in there. When was it that you saw a picture that you said, wait a minute, whoa, there's nothing human about this? Because there's a
Yeah, so
couple
what
there.
happened was what happened was a few weeks after discovering this discovery, I got visited by a large UFO, an orange sphere, and it came in from the south. It had black substance swirling inside.
Are you kidding? What, over your house, or how did this happen?
It came from the south, and it started moving towards me and the house, and I'm outside. I called for my wife. She came out, and I'm pointing at it, and I start to walk towards it, and as I walk towards it, it moves. It was coming from the south, moving north. Then it started moving east slowly. So then from there on out, I was getting visited weekly by UFOs, and I re-reviewed the evidence, and that is when I found the advanced reptiles.
Let me ask you, how big are we talking about? What's that you saw? Was it, are we the size of a car, bigger? What are we talking? I mean, I know sometimes it's difficult depending on the distance to really gauge an actual size, but how big did it look to be?
If you were to look at the moon, a full moon,
okay,
or the sun, mm-hmm, or the sun, it was the same size as that when you're looking at those objects in the sky.
Okay, wow. Yeah, I see what you... Now, I'm going to ask his question. Did it ever cross your mind, they're coming for me, they're going to take me, they're going to abduct me?
There was a time I was outside, and this is when I was getting frequent visitations, which I have a photograph of that as well, of a high altitude UFO. I was outside and a branch, like someone stepped on a branch.
Okay.
And I went running inside.
Okay.
My wife was making fun of me because she said, "What are you scared?" But it's not that I was scared.
No, I don't blame you. I don't blame you, because at that point it's like, wait a minute.
But the thought, I can't tell you the thought didn't cross through my mind.
Uh-huh.
I just made up my mind and got to the point, you know, whatever happens, happens. I just have to do what I got to do and understand this for what it is.
Sure. But you know what? I don't blame you, because I don't think there's any person who would not have thought that. And hats off to you, because you continue. There's a lot of people when I said, I'm stopping this right now. This is just a bit too much. But hats off to you that you continued with this. And it's only natural that you were thinking, I wonder if we're going to go to the next, which is Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind, where I'm either going to get abducted or they're going to come and visit me, and it's not going to be via me taking images. It's only natural. Have you had any dreams? Have they come into your dreams at all?
I not that I know of. You know, I have some really vivid, interesting dreams.
Okay.
But I'd rather not get into those.
Okay.
But I not that I know of the extraterrestrials, but I have dreams of like the future. And,
okay.
I was once on Earth, but the sun was going around the Earth really fast, and
okay.
And the water was rising up and going down, so we had to get underground. So you had 4 hours of no water, but then you had to get underground because then the water came over for another 4 hours. It was pretty insane.
Okay.
But those are all personal experiences.
Right. And I know what you're saying. You know, is it my subconscious throwing stuff at me, fears or whatever, or is it them communicating with me? But sometimes, you know, the way we see things in dreams, symbols, can sometimes it's difficult to decipher, especially when it involves this. So, okay. So here you go, and you're taking these pictures. And how was it that you set this up? You're telling me that you're doing it basically through the refraction of water?
Correct. What it is, it's almost like a form of communication, of photonics.
So okay.
Instead of using radio waves, radio signals that you would need an antenna or a radio dish,
right?
I developed a new type of receiver so I could receive visible light frequencies. And these visible light frequencies can carry almost 100 to 1,000 times more data than radio.
Okay.
So every form of light can carry information. You know, radio is a form of light, invisible
yes.
light. So what I designed was a method of extracting data out of visible light.
Okay.
Or pretty much protected. So it's just basically a black metal surface, and you
mm-hmm.
take water and
okay.
and then a small container, and you project the light through the water and then onto the metal, and then you take digital photographs of the light on the metal.
And let me ask you, what made, I mean, the light idea, I think is, I can understand where you were going with this. Like, in, you were looking, what made you think of doing it through water, through like water refraction? Was it because you were trying to capture the light spectrum, the, you know, what, how did you come up with that? Because that's, and I mean, there's a lot of theories going on as far as also what energy the water itself holds.
Yeah, scientists discovered that water can actually hold memory. So water exactly. can retain memory.
Exactly.
But with me, you know, like I said before, this was by accident. I was just using water in 2009 to make a rainbow. So I knew that I needed the refraction process. I knew I needed to create the prism. It's almost like using a crystal or a prism.
And, yes. You know,
and I don't have the proper scientific tools, so I'm only using what I had available for my experiment. But I imagine that with the proper scientific background, this same experiment could be replicated, but in a more mature way.
And right.
We could have possibly a live video feed with whatever is showing up and appearing, and using this frequency to communicate, we may be able to tap into this frequency and communicate with them live via video and audio.
Exactly. And when you saw, and I guess it's like, it makes you wonder, are you, because you, obviously you're capturing images that appear to be non-human, but then you have others that look human. And it makes you wonder, is it that you're capturing something in a stream from different sources, or is it all from the same source, you know, or it, that, you know, of course, maybe on us where we're at right now, we just don't understand how it works. But once you're there, that's how you communicate or how you can send images. What do you think? Do you think it's all from the same source, or do you think it's just that you just happen to like tune in?
Just like exactly what you said. That's a great way to put it. Tune in. I'm basically tuning in the visible light frequencies. So even with the visible light range, you still have multiple different frequencies that could be used. So there could be different frequencies that could be used by different channels and stuff. But as far as the humans, the non-humans, and what's going on inside the photographs, I do believe that they're all interconnected, so they know each other.
Exactly,
The extraterrestrials and the human entities all know each other, and there's this one bald man. This bald man has showed up in like 1, 2, 3, 4 of the photographs. He even goes around and brings other entities and points. He was pointing in one of the photographs.
Wow.
And, hey, see? You know, there he is. So there's one bald man that showed up in multiple photographs, and he just goes around. He was also the guy kneeled down in front of the tall man with the robe. So
let me tell you something. When I look at that picture of those, that kneeling, they almost, I want to say they almost look like monks.
Like a ritual. It looked like
right,
a ritual.
Right, yeah.
If you notice, he has a brown bowl in his hand, and then the tall man with the robe is washing something. And if I had someone analyze a photograph for me and send it back, and we noticed that there was red dripping from his hands, it was pretty strange.
I'll say I gotta look at that again in a minute, because you've had a lot of opportunity, you know, when at first glance all you're seeing is like what's clearly a figure standing and another one kneeling in front of it, and they have, it looks like some type of hood or cowl or, like you said, a hat that's pointy. What? So you've been doing this then for, 3 years then, approximately?
Correct. I started in April of 2015, and I ran the experiment until the end of 2016. Mm-hmm. And 2017, I had to take a year off of the experiment, but the experiment is back online now.
Okay.
So all the photographs that I collected, because I had over 40 detailed photographs from 2015 to the end of 2016.
Okay, now let me ask you, in that year that you took off, do you feel that they tried to make any contact with you to pull you back in to continue with the experiments? Or was it...
Well, I have been very busy, but there's signs that I see
Okay.
all the time. But also too, the visitation slowed down, but
Mm-hmm.
there is still on occasion a visitation. So they must know I've been busy, I would hope.
Right. And I'm sure like everything, you gotta tailor it to the recipient. As far as okay, let's not overwhelm him. We don't wanna like have him like totally shut down and say that's it. And you know what comes to mind, and I'm sure this, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure it might even predate. But I'm sure you've seen the movie where, the Close Encounters movie, the Steven Spielberg, that the only way that they could come up at that point to do some type of rudimentary communication with the extraterrestrials was with music tones. And this was like, you could tell like the humans were like, well, can we figure it out with musical notes? And the extraterrestrials were like, oh, okay, we'll go with that because if not, we can't communicate. Do you think that this is a form for them to communicate with us? Because let's face it, nothing is more impactful than a visual to get a
Correct.
message across.
That's 100%. And leading SETI Institute astronomer Seth Shostak has even predicted that if extraterrestrials were to contact us, that they would keep it simple. They would encode their message that is so easy for us to pick up, and they would try to send us pictures because we can relate to photographs.
Sure. All right. I mean, there's no need for language or, I mean, as far as knowing language or translation, and just as long as they give
Well,
it to us in small doses, I guess.
and you know what's unique about this is it's not that they're just. They have sent other photographs, like the alien being riding the light being riding on a beam of light, and he was looking through the rear end of Galileo's spyglass, which is the very first telescope ever invented by Galileo. And
Okay.
what it seemed to me to be was a message. So the light being is riding on a beam of light, and he's looking through the rear end of the telescope, basically saying, you can see us, and now we can see you. But And what I'm doing is the exact opposite. Instead of looking out with a telescope,
Right.
I'm taking in the incoming light, and I'm processing that light and taking a photograph of that light processed with water. So I'm not looking out, I'm actually looking in to the light.
Let me ask you, you sent over some pictures of what looks to be like either sigils or some type of writing. And then you also show that it appeared on what? On your radio dash?
Yes, correct. That was the unknown language that appeared on my radio display at 3:33 p.m.
Oh.
And what was strange is
Wow.
I was at a job, doing a job, a residential job, and the woman who owned the house said her son was born at 3:33, and that an angel or spirit supposedly is always with him and guiding him is what she was told, or protecting her son. And it's just strange that, her son was born at 3.
Yeah, that's like, I would have
What is
been
this
like,
angel or
what?
spirit protecting her? And then I get into my car, and the radio starts freaking out. And at this time, I had a lot of things going on, so I had my camera and I just started video recording, and it started displaying these unknown letters on my display. So when I slowed it down, I wrote the letters out, and the letters, the very first letter was like a leaf.
Right.
It was in the form of a leaf, and then the three letters after that looked numerical, like numbers, but foreign numbers. And then the very last letter looks like a horse, like a hieroglyphic of a horse. So it was like a symbol. And the closest language I could find to that language
Okay.
was the Emerald Tablet, which was written by Thoth.
Really? Okay. Yeah, he was the ancient scribe of Egypt, or the scribe god, the ibis-headed god. That's, and yeah, I mean, he was responsible for a lot of different, also magical knowledge, etc. That's really interesting. I can't imagine when that lady told you that, you must have been thinking, what is going on?
That was the following day. So what I assumed was maybe that her spirit, because I was in the house talking to my coworker about this discovery. So what I was thinking had something to do with it. Maybe she was able to just get the message to me through them, because maybe she's on the inside with the other side. There's no telling.
Let me tell you something. That's really unusual.
What made it even more unusual is because I have that radio display video on my YouTube channel.
Right.
The song that was playing, because it got flagged, but then they said it's okay for me to use it, was by Beach House, and it was called Space Song.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding. That was the song that was playing,
Wow.
Space Song by Beach House.
Wow, that is incredible.
That was the first year, a lot of unexplained things. So now, if you were to take it from here, so now we have the photographs, we have these
Right.
spirits, we have these
Exactly.
reptile entities, we have all these unexplained spirits, we have all these unexplained photographs, we have all the personal experiences with the UFOs visiting me, and then the radio frequency all happening all together. You know, if you take everything and put it and combine it, there's something going on here.
Oh, shh. I'll say. I'll say.
And the photographs alone for me, the spirit dude, but if you'd like, we could discuss the gold reflective eyes.
Yes, I was looking at that right now, as a matter of fact, because that is intense.
So
That's intense right there.
like I said, the guy with the pointy hat was the very first photograph I ever took, but I never saw it. And then the human spirit was a very the human soul was the first image that I was able to see, so I continued the experiment. But now, weeks later, almost a month went by, and I decided, let me go back and look at all the photographs again, because now I'm being able to pick up and see the I can look through all the original photographs, and after the very first photograph of the guy with the pointy hat and the
Right.
man kneeled down in front of him, I discovered about 10 or 12 photographs after that one, before the human soul came on, I picked up one of the first reptiles with the gold reflective eyes. So now these reptiles, he has a large brown head, and he has two nostril holes, and then he has an upside down mouth, and his eyes are large like an alien, but they have gold like a reflective material.
Right. Yes.
And it's very strange. I
Yes, and as a matter of fact, I'm showing a picture of it right now, where yeah, is exactly what you're describing. It's the large, real large, but that gold reflective on them,
Now
and
there's
you've got that
two.
one where you even got a trio of them, three of them.
Yes. There, now, the two gold reflective eyes, the first one was in 2015. Now, the second gold reflective eye, which is compared to the Nazca mummy, which I'm not sure if they were able to authenticate yet, but it looks very similar and was even in the same pose because I had them compared side by side. But he had the gold reflective eye as well. That was in 2016. So the first gold reflective eye, brown reptile looking was in 2015, but then a year later I was able to capture the exact same species in more detail, but he was also looking to the left instead of looking straight. So I caught him like on a left side.
Let me ask you, have you ever had anybody that's seen the pictures, was that, like you said, you have them on your website and everything, that's ever said, I've seen that before? You know, especially somebody that's had close encounters with extraterrestrials. I mean, everybody's very familiar with the grays. I'm gonna, you know, but has anybody ever said, I've seen that before? Because that's that I would remember. I think that if anybody had ever come across that, they would absolutely, how can you forget?
Yeah, well, you know, a couple of people have, and what we just, I researched it, and they look similar to the mantids.
Yes, I've heard of the mantids, yes.
So someone said that they do look similar to the mantids, but as far as I know, you know, I'd like to keep it simple. You know, I discovered humans, and I discovered advanced reptiles. So they're pretty much two classifications. You have
Okay.
humans, you have reptiles, and then you have the light entities. Now, with the three that are standing with the arrows pointing,
Yes.
Now, on the far left, there's an actual, it looks like a gray. He has like two large eyes and a huge head, skinny neck, and he's like pointing into the camera.
Yes, I see that. I see that. I see that.
In the middle, there is a tall man or woman, and it's wearing like a robe with this necklace going around.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the far right, there's the bald man with the suit. The bald man's in a lot of the photographs. But you have three entities right there, just looking into the, looking in, like, hey, you see us, we see you.
So, wow. That's like, I mean, talk about your mind going whoosh when you see this, because I guess we become very, our focus becomes very narrow as far as what we think of as being able to communicate with, let's say, extraterrestrials. Okay, like you said, SETI and all these places, they've got all these radio waves, or, you know, when they've sent stuff out into the galaxies, or, you know, they've, I think to myself, man, are we really off totally, because we just didn't understand, you know, we didn't open up far enough as to the possibility of how we can communicate with something that originates in either another galaxy or another universe, or for all we know, another dimension.
There's no telling where they are at, but the good news is we know that there, and we know that they're trying to communicate with us. And instead of trying to search for their messages, you know, scientists have been searching millions of stars in our,
yeah,
in our universe, right? These,
mm-hmm,
these scientists that are doing these extraterrestrial searches, the SETI searches, are only searching stars all around our universe. But the one thing that they, I think they overlooked, you know, they haven't checked our star. You know, they're searching. 2016, scientists discovered 234 spectral, unknown, like, spectral stars. So they found that these stars periodically had these strange pulses coming out of them. All the stars they discovered were like our sun. They looked like our sun. So scientists can search for messages in stars, but they don't check our star. So I believe I'm the only scientist using our sun to search for extraterrestrial messages.
Do you think that they've done it and they just haven't publicized it? Or what do you think? That they've totally dropped the ball on as far as approaching it from this angle?
You know, I honestly don't know. I try to research and find information, like on Google, if you were to Google information on in sunlight or sunlight to use to,
right,
to transfer data, it's non-existent. So either it's protected, the frequency is protected,
right,
they're not allowed, scientists may not be allowed to search that frequency of,
sure,
our star, or, you know, honestly, I have no clue.
Because I'm thinking right off the top of my head, and I think you've probably, it sounds like you, you know, when, where the Japanese scientist, he tested with the water, as far as, like you said, holding sentiments. In other words, that humans can affect it with depending on what you are putting out. But that's about the only thing I can think of right off that comes close to having to do with that.
Right. Well, the water can retain memory, so your consciousness can affect that. But I believe that these images are able to appear due to quantum entanglement, quantum teleportation, and also could be a form of neutrino. Neutrinos,
mm-hmm,
are the ghost-like particles of dark matter. So this could be an exotic form of communication, which is invisible and is still undetected at this time.
You said something really interesting. You said at some point they actually started looking, like, you know, when somebody poses for a camera, like, okay, look at the camera. So it sounds like there's awareness there that you're there, that you're capturing their images.
Right.
So
with visible light communication, it's called quantum entanglement. Anytime that, say, you are sending a message, you would know instantly when that message was received because you would be alerted. As soon as someone were to observe your message, the message is gone. It disappears. but it alerts the sender, whoever is sending the message, that, hey, you know, right here, it gives them all the information. So they knew instantly. So they were sent like a notification saying, hey, you know, they can see us now.
Okay, so in other words, there was no such thing as a stealth approach with this. Wow.
Yeah, there's once you observe them, and that's the thing, you know, I was able to observe them, and this is how I know they're friendly, because even though they knew I could see them, instead of changing their frequency, which is what they could have done, instead they came and looked in, like they were curious, just as I am curious as well as about them. So they were curious as well. So they want to communicate.
Okay. Yeah, in other words, it didn't all of a sudden, like, there was nothing there. You were able to, in other words, keep going with it.
Correct, and they continue to appear for me, but it doesn't happen all the time. You know, I run this experiment. I try to run it weekly, at least 3 times a week for an hour. And, you know, I once went in 2015, I went almost 4 months without a single photograph. But I kept going because of the spirit in the very beginning. So I just kept running the experiment, and eventually they came back. So there's certain times the signal is more clear, and there's certain times the signal is weak.
I was going to ask you, considering, like you said, that you've tried, are there certain circumstances or conditions that enable it more than other times, or that have you noticed any common denominator?
Anytime the signal is strong, even if there's like a little bit of clouds and you still got the sun coming through, as long as you have access to light and the signal is available, they'll appear. But if the signal is not available, there is nothing. So it's only when the signal is there. And the signal could be connected to multiple things. It could be connected to magnetic field portals, which NASA considers X points. X points are when these magnetic field portals open up and they connect our atmosphere with the sun's at.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
A way to channel more energy, more cosmic rays in and out of Earth's atmosphere. So that may be. And then also, too, I'm using the sun. So if I was in another galaxy and I needed to contact Earth, I'm not going to be able to see Earth because it's so small. But what I could see is the star.
Right.
So what I would do, if I was in another galaxy, I would embed my message into that star so that when that star sends out its light, then anyone who has access to the light could access my message so we could communicate intergalactically, basically like a universal internet.
Exactly. And especially with those humanoid or those human type of figures, it makes you wonder, are we talking humans? Are we talking... I mean, you know, do we have, you know how sometimes there's that theory that humans here, we were seeded from other humans that, in other words, we look exactly alike in the sense of how we look like, but that we were seeded here, because those are plainly human. You could tell they're human figures versus the other ones. So it makes you wonder, are they, you know, like you said, part of it, and I know there's a lot of people that already think that we're being checked on, or at the very least monitored, if not outright experimented with. And I know that there's a whole host of different descriptions of ETs out there, but it makes, I guess I'm like everybody, especially after that announcement that they made in December, that the government kind of actually admitted that they had spent money on trying to verify all these sightings of UFOs that they had seen. Are we getting there? Are we going to have that moment that where we're looking at disclosure, real disclosure, not lukewarm disclosure?
Yeah, the Department of Defense did admit that it was an unknown technology that we do not have on Earth. It moved too fast, so if any living thing was inside of it as it was moving, it would have been pulled into pieces. And so whatever it was not made by man, but we know that we're being visited. And like you're saying, now with finding the humans, finding the reptiles. There's another photograph which I was able to capture, which was very strange for me, but on the very far left of the photograph, there's an actual halo. And I've never seen a halo in any photograph, but it seems the same bald man is looking to his right. And there's this gold ring around his head, and you can actually see it go around the head.
Yeah, let me okay, let me see. I'm going through the picture now. And by the way, I see what you mean as far as that guy holding the bowl on the one kneeling. I don't, because now that I'm looking, I see what you mean. Okay, let me see. Hold on.
It's number eight, the halo, and it was a perfect halo that formed. And in the middle, you would see two unknown entities, one white, one brown. It looks like some type of ancient extraterrestrial life form or an ancient form of life. The white one with the blue face looks female, and the one on the right looks male. So it looks like a
Yes, I see
male and a
that. I see
female.
it. I'm
But
looking
on the
at it.
far
Yeah.
left, there is a bald man with a halo. And you know, a halo is biblical, that's connected to religion.
Yes.
So I believe that, you know, the spirits. So now we got spirits. Now we have aliens, and now we have religion. It's like everything is all connected. It's intertwined.
Which a lot of people have, because basically, I mean, the halo was always used, especially, in all these, especially the paintings and everything, to signify divinity. If you were holy, that's why, if you had to be a saint or an angel, or in Judeo-Christian thought, you had the halo, or that light around you, and it makes you wonder what they were interpreting from, as far as why they used that concept to indicate that
Well,
somebody was divine.
they must have, you know, ancient technology. We could go back to, I believe it was the 1400 or 1500s. There was a man named John Dee. I
Yes.
believe it was John Dee. And he was able to use a similar concept with a crystal. And he was
Right.
able to see these spirits and communicate with them, but he wasn't able to photograph them. So,
Right, because he was what they
on
he
that ancient
believed,
stuff.
also in the transformation of substances. And yeah, he was out there. He was like, talk about a Renaissance man.
Yeah, he was into the alchemy and stuff. But what I was found fascinating was his experiments that he did using a similar concept. And
Really?
in the same as Notre Dame as well. Notre Dame used a similar concept with the black bowl and a little bit of water and light, and they were able to see things. So I can't really connect the dots to that, and I would like to just continue to go wherever this goes. But as far as having that halo appear, that was just shocking as well. With
Yes.
it goes along with all the other photographs.
I know. And so at and it sounds like you've got a, beyond your initial what? Now that you've been doing it for a few years and you've capturing all these different pictures, especially things that don't look human, what do you get the feeling is the next step for this? And I know, like you said, I understand totally what you're saying. You're very limited sometimes because you can only use what you've got on hand. You don't have the benefit of, millions or thousands of dollars for equipment. But at the same time, something's going on because, like you said, they're aware that you are photographing them or capturing the image, and they're still there. What do you think is the next step? Is this a preparation for disclosure? Is this a way of kind of saying, hey guys, this is how you communicate with us? What do you think?
Well, I'm certain that it is a form of communication with these other realms or extraterrestrials, and my goal is to continue to gather more evidence with the same exact equipment that I'm using. So
Okay.
as long as I can continue to gather evidence, I must continue to gather evidence so that scientists can hopefully publicly speak on my behalf. As far
Sure.
as now, though, with most major discoveries, in the very beginning, you get ridicule. You know,
Yeah.
I was ridiculed for years, and I'm still being ridiculed by scientists. But then they're going to have to oppose it for a while and say, well, it's this or it's that. You know, I've talked to scientists. They told me their thoughts on this, and guess what? Their thoughts don't add up. you know. So with every discovery, you sometimes have to be open to
sure.
understanding
yes.
what is in these
I agree
photographs.
With that.
Now, along with the beings, there are these spheres that appear in the light, these metallic-looking balls. And there was a big story about the SpaceX rocket that blew up. There was this sphere that flew by it.
Really?
And it blew up the rocket. So these
spheres, I had not heard that.
These
wow.
spheres that I have that appear, they appear like metallic, and one of them is attached to a cigar-shaped ship with pyramid markings. So it's almost as if the pyramid is for us Earth. That's like our symbol for the,
mm-hmm.
the galactic universe. And then to the right of the cigar-shaped craft with the spear attached to it, there's this massive round other spaceship, and it has its own insignia on it. So I believe that they could be two spaceships, and that these spaceships may belong to Earth.
Okay. And I'm thinking, you know, because when you're talking about, you know, the next, I mean, even though they're saying now that we're going to go back to the moon, but, you know, all these private billionaires, not the government, what they got their eye on is Mars, you know, and of course, you know, they're putting up satellites, but I know that what they're all looking for as far as money is to shoot people out into space and take a tour and eventually colonize Mars at some point. And it makes you wonder how, you know, are they watching us and saying, okay, now they're ready for the face-to-face, or are they going to stand back and just see what we do?
Yeah, I understand where you, now I understand. So what it is are we ready to join our neighbors in the universe? You know,
yeah.
I imagine there's thousands and thousands, maybe even millions of different species and intelligent life in our universe.
Yes.
And what it is we are not part. So we are kept silent. We're in the dark. We're
sure.
like in the Stone Ages. We're like cavemen compared to them. We're not.
Right.
We haven't reached that level of technology.
Yeah, I mean, the only place we've been able to go is a satellite, you know, orbiting our Earth, which is the moon, which is really, for all intents and purposes, still part of the Earth, even though it's a separate body. But, and, you know, yeah, we've sent out all these exploratory, you know, pods and all these things to send back messages. But once we start going beyond the moon, and even though we do have that space station, but I think that once we're looking at going to Mars and eventually maybe colonizing Mars, or depending, I guess, on a lot of different things, it's like, what's going to come with that? Are we finally going to be let in to maybe this group of, because that's another thing. A lot of people think that there's just a lot of different ETs out there, that we're going to be let in on the, instead of being observed, we're going to be actually part of it, I guess.
I believe the first step to that is communicating. So we
of
must
course.
Communicate with them.
Yes.
First. They can't just come down and land on Earth, because they're probably going to get blown up or shot. And if the government is already communicating with them, I wouldn't even doubt it. But the main thing is we, the public, must know that there is this form of visible light frequencies that we can use to tap in to this knowledge and actually contact and communicate with them. So once we have this in the public, once the public understands and knows, then the good possibility that once scientists step in and take over, then there's a good possibility that we will be in contact with these beings, video feed.
Well, let me tell you something. One of the things I think about, because I'm at this point, I'm always thinking, okay, you know, especially after they kind of did that disclosure in December about that they admitted that they had a program that was being funded. I'm thinking to myself, okay, you've acclimated the population. Yeah, there's going to be a few people that are going to kind of lose it, but we've kind of all come to that idea that we're not alone in the universe. Okay, as scary as that is. And sometimes I think that maybe they hold back because despite what we think that they know, maybe they don't know as much as we think they do. And if they ever came out and said or confirmed, yes, These are extraterrestrials. No, this is not of this earth. Whatever they want to give up. Next question that comes from us is, well, what do you know? I think they would panic people for to realize that they really don't know as much as we think. Like you said, communication. How do we communicate? Which would kind of put us very much on the lower end of that relationship. Where they might have been observing us for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And we know little or nothing about them.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, there's a good possibility that what I discovered, this, the way I discovered it, there is a small possibility that this has never been seen or discovered before. So there is a possibility that the government is not in contact with these extraterrestrials.
Right.
But now that they know the frequency, they may be able to replicate, but there's no saying if the extraterrestrials would even communicate with them. They may be able to pick and choose who they communicate with. And what you're saying, what do you know, once everyone knows, you know, what I have found by finding the human spirit is that our soul is extraterrestrial. So there's a good possibility whatever I'm communicating with could be where our soul goes to after it leaves Earth.
Could be, you know, something that doesn't necessitate a carbon-based body to be housed in. Because we're not on this earth anymore. I mean, yeah.
And then what it is light is information. So the soul could just be like a vehicle transporting your consciousness, your thoughts, all your memories. And it could transfer that information instantly via quantum teleportation and entanglement to anywhere in the universe instantly.
Yep. Right.
And then there's a good possibility that we could be physical somewhere else. So we could just move from one physical body to the next or to where we came from.
Talk about sit there. Yeah, exactly. If and I understand what you're saying. Once you don't have a physical body to, you know, like, you know how in, I'm going to use Star Trek. You know how basically they materialize and dematerialize you in the same spot. But, you know, I guess they had it perfected so that every little molecule came right back to where it was supposed to. What if you didn't have to worry about that?
Teleportation.
Right. Your consciousness, your self-awareness was really all you needed. And of course, that could be transported on the light spectrum. And
which brings us to this.
Right.
It brings us to this. Are we here to be tested? Did we choose to come here? Are we physical somewhere else? Did we sign up to transfer our consciousness to Earth, run this experiment, and then go back?
Yeah.
We forgot everything as soon as we transferred to Earth. So once we transferred in, we forget everything that we knew. But once we leave our bodies, we retain not only the knowledge that we just gained, but we remember who we were before.
Right. And a lot of people, yeah. And once we're here, it wouldn't serve no purpose. Like it would get in the way if we would actually be able to be aware or remember those, what you just described. It would get in the way.
It would, because maybe, you know, we could be being tested.
Yeah.
It could be just a way to experience free will. Maybe where we're at, we're all like superheroes. So we have all this power and we could go from here to here to here to here. So maybe.
Well.
Be a way of humbling us.
It was almost like.
Back to reality before we go back.
Right. And I'm going to use another analogy of another sci-fi, you know, that. I know that the story was originally from Philip K. Dick, but the one that Arnold did with Total Recall, where basically for him to believe it, they had to erase his memory of who he was. And in essence, he changed because of the, in other words, it's like, okay, you want to go down to the earth plane? Well, to really get there and get it or do it and be in that type of body and that you got to like, you can't remember all of this because it's got to be a level playing field for everybody down there. And that's the only way you can participate. And then, like you said, once we shed our bodies, then we're able to basically pick up where we left off as far as memories.
And wow. This discovery has actually brought me closer to God.
I bet.
And especially, you know, knowing that there's a soul and a spirit, knowing that it can exist, or it could be, you know, that spirit, this the soul, you know, I compared it to my actual face, and it's very similar. So for all I know, it could be my consciousness outside of my body. I have no evidence of that. All I know is it's unknown at this time. But there's many different scenarios or many different things that it could be. But the problem is we need to figure out what it is.
Oh, no. We could extrapolate this in so many directions. It's like it would take forever. I mean, this is literally and figuratively the tip of the iceberg. I mean, in what direction? This could go
it's
in.
It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. And, you know, once I have other people around the world doing this, I had a good friend of mine, Alex, in New York. He captured during the last solar eclipse. He was able to capture some form of an entity using the sunlight.
Really?
He was able to, it looked like a woman holding, you know, some type of something in her hand. And I had one guy from Saudi Arabia. Well, not Saudi Arabia, outside Saudi Arabia. I can't give his location. He captured and sent me one of his photographs, and it looked like one of the gold reflective eyes, one of the gold reflective eye entities
wow.
in one of his photographs. And then had a guy in Manchester, England, who sent a photograph, which it was a very strange photograph. And then I had a guy in Texas send another photograph. So now what I do is whenever I receive photographs of people taking these type of images with the same material and methods, I review them, and if they're good, I add them to my global album. So I have a global bent light album that mm-hmm. I keep on my Facebook so others can share their photographs as well.
Okay, now let's go down the rabbit hole here. Ready? Here we go. This was even before I knew that we were going to have this interview. About three weeks ago, I was in South Carolina, and I was doing some filming, okay? And it took me, like, I was in these ruins that they have out in South Carolina, and, you know, this ruined church, and, you know, they have the gravestones out in the outside the perimeter of the ground. So they have this very long memorial plaque for this guy that died in the 1700s. And I was filming it, reading it, because the guy was an important guy. Well, I didn't get around to looking at it like till maybe 3 days. Now, when I was out there, it started to rain, just sprinkling. And I was like, God, I got to get out here. And I've got to film this. So I went out there and I filmed because it was just sprinkling really lightly. But on the gravestone, which is polished, by the way, even though it was older, I don't know, probably maybe they redid it. So it's got the water droplets, and I filmed it. I didn't look at it till, like, I want to say maybe 4 or 5 days ago that I was reviewing the actual footage, and I put it up on my website. If you have a chance, go by and look at it, and you're going to see I saw three faces. Two are really, really clear. Okay. And now that we're talking about this, I'm telling you, I'm glad I'm sitting down, because for all I have been involved with paranormal investigations since the 1990s for a really long time, I have really high standards when it comes to seeing things, you know, that people say, I see this, and it's like, God, it could be anything. When I was actually looking at this and reviewing this video, I stopped and I said, okay, Marlene. I got up, I got a glass of water, and I came back. And I was like, that's a face. That's a face. What? If you have a chance, I would love for you to go by my website and look at it. Because I posted
I
would
like
it up.
To analyze that. I'll definitely check
it's like
it out.
I put the little clip of the video, and I put the actual picture with the arrows, the actual. And when you said that thing about water, it was like, wait a minute, it was raining. And because that grave, that memorial was flat, it wasn't one that's standing up, it was flat. Now I'm thinking, oh man, this is like, that's incredible.
And you know, the main thing that we need to realize is that this, if this is a form of communication with
yeah.
the physical realm, these entities are appearing like almost in full detail.
Yes.
So they're able, for the first time, have a platform to speak. You know, I don't speak in behalf of these beings because I can't talk to them. So the only thing I can do is speak not in their behalf, but to show them so other people can see them. And then hopefully when we have scientists take this seriously, we may be able to get this platform established where we can actually communicate with them, you know, all the time. And there's a good possibility that this technology will result in us being able to communicate with our loved ones after they passed on. Could you imagine being able to speak with people who were already on Earth? There's a few people I would like to talk to.
Sure. But let me tell you something, that I could see as desire. I mean, that right in and of itself, when we're talking here, because to me it sounds almost like we're talking about communicating with another dimension, apart from extraterrestrials and things like that. And I mean, I've been exposed to other thoughts as far as people that have done, where a lot of them find that some ETs, and these are theories, some ETs are non-corporeal. In other words, they don't have to be solid like, let's say, us. All right. And that a lot of the, you know how you have people that have said, oh, well, I got something implanted in me, as in metal. That there's theories. As a matter of fact, one of them, he was a doctor, Dr. William Baldwin, where basically the implant was an actual extraterrestrial that was put basically in your auric body to either gather information or to check us out. And I mean, that's a whole nother show. But this goes right into that thought, that school of thought, that things don't have to be like the table, like hard, for it to exist.
Right. Well, just we alone, our soul is non-physical. So I don't really refer to myself as a physical being. I'm physical here on Earth.
Right.
When I leave Earth, I'm going to be non-physical. Whether or not I return to another physical body, I know briefly I'm going to be non-physical.
Right.
So not everything has to.
Well, and I think part of it is that we're so used to defining everything as what we can capture with our senses of our bodies. In other words, that it's difficult sometimes for us to think of things being parallel or existing right next to us or alongside with us that we just don't see or don't sense or nothing, because
we were not engineered.
No, we're not. That we're not.
We're not engineered to see that. For some reason, they put some blinders on us.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
It's all part of the test.
Let me tell you something. I am so fascinated by this, and I really, really hope that you continue with this and see where it goes. I mean, are they going to show you more things? Are they going to become more detailed? Are we going to have an encounter of the fourth kind, which is maybe at some point they think you're ready to see something firsthand instead of via, you know, how would they introduce that into your world? When I mean your world, your reality.
If that is the case, I promise you my camera will be
running. Yes. I take it that camera goes everywhere with you, right?
You got to follow the evidence.
And, yes.
You know, that's what I've been doing from the very beginning. And I have a feeling once more and more people understand this visible light frequency and this new type of technology.
Well,
on how to do it. The instructions are on my page. The instructions have been public. There are also right now currently another SETI Institute is using my exact methods. So they have the Laser SETI project, which is going to be using a similar method of bent light, where it has transmission grated glass prism on the top. It bends, it takes the light in at night. It takes in the visible light and it splits it up into a prism and then projects that light into a digital camera.
Yeah.
So now scientists at the SETI Institute, instead of using radio waves, they're actually using the bent light method. So
Right,
there's a good
because basically what
possibility
you're
that
saying is you used bottles full of water, they're going to be using a laser.
what they're using is transmission graded glass. It's almost like a prism. So instead of needing the water,
Okay.
they can actually use a scientific instrument like a prism to bend the light. So instead of using, I use the water, but they're using a glass prism. So maybe the water is key. So maybe they may
He
have to
took
add
the
the
words
water.
right out of my mouth. I said, "What if everything is the water? You use that other method, very high tech, and there's nothing. It's the water. What?"
Well, scientists, and this is what frustrates them in SETI Institute, they're not very happy with me because they've been spending hundreds of millions of dollars looking and searching for radio waves when I come along and use a bottled water and a webcam and I'm able to capture and communicate and contact with extraterrestrial life for a dollar.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time that experts, in quotation marks, refuse to accept that somebody that's not an expert actually comes up with stuff. I mean, as a matter of fact, in the world of archaeology, some very famous discoveries have been made by non-archaeologists. And the academics, they like what? They get all like they get upset because somebody that didn't have the training got it, so it wouldn't be the first time in the field of science that,
Something was overlooked.
yeah, of
Something
course,
was overlooked, and it was so simple. It was right in front of their eyes. The
yeah.
problem is, scientists, I know why they overlooked it, because they always tried to make things more complicated and look smaller, microscopic. They would look at the microscopic level. They would look at the subatomic level, at the atoms, the molecular level, but instead they bypass and forgot, hey, why don't we zoom out and look at this macroscopic level of the naked eye of quantum physics? And when you're able to analyze and process this visible light with the prism, instead of looking too far in, you just got to zoom out a little and find that one focal point to where the frequency, like you said before, is tuning in. So now we tuned in the frequency, we backed up, and
Right.
now we're able to communicate with another civilization. It was that easy, but it was overlooked because also too, they don't use sunlight.
Right. It's like, oh, it's so simple and it actually works. Like you said, you made a good point. It's like, no, it's got to be complicated, very complex, only the best minds, the experts, those are the ones. Don't get me wrong. I have nothing against academics. I don't have anything against higher learning or people that I have a problem though. When they think that these are the only ones that can discover or come upon things, that's
Well,
where I have a problem.
the man who invented the microscope, one of the originals, I don't believe he got credit. I can't quote his name right now, but I can tell you that he used to make drapes and curtains.
You go.
And across the street from his curtain shop, which his dad, set up for him, there was a little general store, and they had this toy, and it was like a couple of lenses and stuff. So he bought this little child's toy, and he went home and started fiddling with it. And he was able to create one of the first early models of the microscope, just by experimenting with something that, existed but wasn't used for that purpose.
Right, and that's why I'm saying that not everything has to be, the best trained, the most knowledgeable, the whatever. It's not the, always going to be like you said. Sometimes they get in their own way because they only go by established ideas, and it's like if it doesn't meet this criteria, then it's off the table.
And what's funny is that whenever I see these scientists, and you always see the sunlight in the background, and sometimes they're drinking a bottled water. Like, if they only knew, if you put one
Yeah.
plus two together, you get three.
Well,
Sunlight, water, metal, communication.
yes. Yeah. It could be like we're all looking in the wrong direction. So, thank you so much for spending this time together. This is like, my brain's going ding, 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 ding. Saturation point, Marlene. What? Okay, there's so much here to think about. It's incredible. But it's all good. I think it's fascinating. I think it's fascinating because honestly, I know it's scary. I think human beings, we kind of get a little bit scared of the unknown, especially like when we realize, man, there's a lot we don't know. But I think that this is how we make advancements, when we go beyond the safe zone. And this is definitely not the safe zone. By this, I don't mean it's unsafe, but talk about stepping off the beaten path, and especially all the theories that are out there as far as UFOs and ETs and maybe parallel dimensions or parallel universes and other dimensions. I mean, God. Let me ask you, what is your website in case somebody wanted to visit there and they wanted to be able to see all the pictures that you've got put on the website?
Yeah, the website you can find Bent Lights, plural, bentlights.com.
Okay.
And
So, because
then
I
you
know
can
I
also
saw that you have a lot more pictures. You have several pictures there, right?
Yeah, that's all the detailed evidence from 2015 and 2016. There's actually a 2016 album on my Bent Light
Oh, okay.
Facebook. You can find me on Bent Light Facebook. On
Okay.
Facebook, you look for Albert Einstein and Bent Light.
Okay.
Albert Einstein is a profile image. So there's different albums on there. You have the global album and you have the 2016 album, and there's going to be a new album for 2018. So I'm go the experiment is online. I actually ran tests today. I haven't had time to review the photographs yet, but I'm going to be running the
Okay.
experiment all year. So by the end of the year, I'm hoping to have around 50 detailed photographs.
Perfect. Perfect. Are
On
you doing
bentlights.com.
any do you have any type of controlled setting that you're doing them under?
Now I am. Before it was a little less controlled, but now I'm actually having more control. So now I'm going to be doing it a little differently than the very beginning. It's going to be under a more controlled setting. So I'm doing it instead of outside, I'm indoors now.
Okay.
And I have it running through glass, the light coming in from outside. And I pretty much have the whole surrounding area, which is all going to be one material, black. So then there's nothing to get interfere with with the evidence or
Right,
what I'm
exactly. You're going to control
photographing.
the lights as far as I understand exactly what you mean. And you know what? That's the way it always works. At the beginning, when you come across things, but then you start funneling or like bringing in all those outside things that could take away or that could affect it. Such you say, like you said, if I'm going to do this for a whole year and the conditions are always the same or as same as I can make them, let's see what happens.
Yeah,
Wow.
this year is definitely a new place, a new setup, more control. But what I'm looking forward to seeing is the same results. What I'm going to do is achieve the exact same results that I achieved from the very beginning. And I can tell you this, there's only one photograph that got me into this and kept me into this. That one photograph alone, if it's not for all the other photographs, if that was the only photograph I ever achieved and got, I would still be doing this because that photograph is so detailed. It cannot be anything than what it is, which is a
Right.
human soul, a spirit, or consciousness. One of the most detailed photographs I have ever personally seen in the paranormal realm of an actual spirit. So that alone keeps me going and it keeps me motivated. But I'm looking forward to evidence, and I really enjoy talking with you.
Likewise,
And
likewise. To me, it was
thank you
wonderful.
so much.
No, thank
Yeah,
you.
thanks so
Thank
much.
you.
We're gonna have to
Oh,
stay together.
absolutely. We're gonna stay in touch
Together later
because
on.
I mean, I don't know how much you want to disclose of your experiment during the year, or if you're gonna wait till the end of the year to say, okay, this is what after this X amount of time under these control circumstances, this is what I came
Everything gets released
across.
instantly. I do not keep anything away. The only thing I was keeping away was my name, but most people know me as William Lawrence. So
Okay.
a lot of people are learning who I am. But
Okay.
as far as evidence, when I receive evidence, I post the evidence on my BentLight Facebook. So I don't hold back anything.
Okay,
Anything I
perfect,
get, the
perfect.
day I find it, it goes up.
Full
And the main
disclosure.
reason
That's
I,
fantastic.
yeah, the main. The main reason I do that is I try to be transparent so you can see the methods. If I find anything, you'll see it.
Great. Then we're going to stay in touch and let's see what happens. Good luck to you in 2018. And let's see what happens. I think I have this feeling that in the next few years, we are going to do a big, major step in the direction of realizing, even though we might be kindergartners, when it comes to other civilizations or species. I don't even know what you want to call them. I think that's gonna be our reality within the next few years. It's not gonna be a hypothetical maybe. We're not sure, and this is the kind of this is it. This is the way things like that happen, and that doesn't have to be. In other words, what you have come across could be the norm, just because it hasn't been seen before. Everybody expected to be communication to be a certain way. That doesn't mean it's going to have to be that way. It could come off left field totally, which is what this sounds like.
It's time,
Yes, it
really.
is time.
We as humans are ready.
You're more than ready. We're more than
Yeah,
ready.
we're ready.
Well, thank you so much and have a fantastic week. And you were
Yeah.
wonderful. Take care.
You too. I'll talk to
Bye-bye.
you soon.
The best of luck to you.
Thanks.
Wow. I don't know about you guys. But when I said I'm at saturation point, I am. My brain's going whirr. Because, let's face it, and I've said this before, human beings, some more than others, we like, despite, all these things that we hear about UFOs and ETs and everything, it's like, okay, that's there. We've seen the movies or, but we like our reality. We like what we know. We have all these preconceived ideas of God, if ever ET's gonna come down, what's it gonna be like? Or we're comforted thinking, yes, our government, despite people complaining that, hey, they've held out, the government hasn't told us the truth. There's a part of us that's thinking, okay, they're handling it. The day they come out and they say, yes, we've had contact with an alien culture, race, whatever, multiple, that's the big question mark. They will be okay, but you guys are handling it, right? What if that's not the case? I tell everybody that. What if the government does know about it, has known about it, might have collected some material, some evidence of some type, but at the end of the day, the reason they've held back is that they don't know as much as we think they do. And what does that do to us, as in all of us? When, because everybody's going to have a million questions from the governments, not only the United States, all these countries that also do have their own, they have their own agencies that look into this. When everything that comes across is like, we don't know, we don't know, we don't know. Yeah. Do you think there's going to be people wigging out? Yeah. When they ask, are they friendly? We don't know. Are they aggressive? We don't know. What do they look like? We really don't know. How many are there? We don't know. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people that's going to wig them out a big time. In other words, the people that we think like, if you look at the X-Files, whatever you freaking tell you, as an example, the X-Files, yeah, obviously they portrayed the government or the deep state or whatever you want to call it as the ones that were dealing with the ETs and doing whatever they were doing. And it's almost like ignorance is bliss up to a certain point. But what if we don't have that type of control or we don't have that type of relationship with ETs? That they're just doing this stuff and they're like, eh, be quiet. And every once in a while, we come across something, we cite them. Whether it's a regular person or a pilot, I'm telling you, think about it. Maybe that's the reason why they're holding out. That's the reason why they haven't come forward, because they're not going to have answers for us. Despite all the theories out there that think that the government has all this information, all this evidence, and deceased ETs and technology, what if they don't? What if they don't? Now, that puts us on the, how can I say, on the defensive, especially when you don't know what are their intentions. Are they going to study us? Are they going to colonize us? Are they going to eat us, like in The Twilight Zone, the cookbook? What do they want with us? Are they just going to pull us up every once in a while and take tissue samples, and if you go with some theories, impregnate, do hybrid. I mean, there's going to be people running around going, ah, depending on what their concept is of the intentions that extraterrestrial life could have towards the humans here. I'm telling you, it's a great time to be alive because, God, there's a lot of things going on. And then you have something what's going on with what he discovered, and you've seen the pictures, and these are only a few of the pictures that he sent over. There's a lot more on his website, bentlights.com, that it's like, what is this? And what is it? Your mind is like a parachute. It only works if you open it. Mine's open, but I'm like, oh, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to, there's people gonna say, oh, that's BS. And you could, but at the same time, you look at some of these pictures and you're like, what in the world is that? And there could be communication via refracted light through water and sunlight. Oh, why not? I mean, again, I come right back to the one thing that makes most human beings really, really uncomfortable to realize. You don't know shit. We don't know shit. There's more that we don't know. For all that, we're at the top of the chain here on planet Earth. Maybe in the whole scope of things, we don't know. We're like I said, we're like kindergartners. And man, talk about a reality check. Interesting, huh? Well, okay, guys, I'm gonna go and have some tea now and sit back for a while, let it percolate in my brain. I hope you liked this show. I know I loved it. Makes the gray matter move around. Please subscribe to my channel, wherever it is that you find me, whether it's YouTube, if you're listening to a podcast on Spreaker, iHeartRadio, iTunes, so that you can get subscribe, so that you can get notifications of any shows when I release them. And you can follow me on Facebook and on Twitter, Instagram. This is where I usually live stream. Especially when I'm out on locations. Also, my true believers, please do not forget about me. I've received some fantastic, fantastic stories from my true believers about experiences they've had. And you're going to be seeing some of them in upcoming shows. Some of them I've actually been able to basically film them, and others decided to write me and I retell it, which is fine by me. I don't care. Whatever makes you more comfortable, go to miamighostchronicles.com, go to the submit tab. However you want to communicate, that is fine with me. Okay? I just want to hear those stories because I know there's not thousands, there's millions and millions and millions of stories out there. All right? And I would love to hear them and retell them. So, guys, thank you so very much for being part of my audience. Like I said before, I hope you really enjoyed the show. And I love bringing you this information, even if it's a little bit on the wild side. But what they say, walk on the wild side. Take care, guys. You are all wonderful.